Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans, 7:15 p.m. Saturday night. Just another football game, Derek. Just another football game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, and obviously just another hockey game for the standings tomorrow with 2 points on the line against the Dallas Stars, a division rival in the Winter Classic, but not just another hockey game for the Nashville Predators fans and for the Dallas Stars fans and for the NHL. Winter Classic tomorrow at 1 o'clock p.m., pregame at noon. But we also have Commissioner Gary Bettman on at 11:30 because Chase McCabe gets you started with Ryan Porth at 9 a.m. ringside tomorrow morning. And, of course, a special edition of Smashville Live will follow at 11 a.m. Again, as I mentioned, Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, going to be on with them there. And then pregame coverage, the more traditional pregame coverage starts at noon, but there's nothing traditional about this game. Today we got a programming announcement, of course, with Jared the GM starting at 10. It's a little early in the morning for Jared Stillman, but you're going to have to deal with it. And then 2 o'clock, Darren Donick and Chase will start up at 2 o'clock because they get to actually do their show ringside during practice today. So that will be a cool experience, sort of these once-in-a-lifetime type of deals. And Listen, the team is in 11th place or whatever. They're not playing good hockey after the Pittsburgh back-to-back. They are what they are in the standings. And 2 points is incredibly important, and so I don't want to overlook how important every single outcome and every single point is from here on out, trying to work your way back into the postseason. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's okay, and I understand if you look at it a different way, but I just think it's okay to forget all about that for tomorrow. I think it's okay to just say, you know what? I don't care about the 2 points. How they play, I'm not going to analyze it. I'm not going to stress myself out about who plays on what line and how well the goaltenders are playing. And I'm not going to stress myself out. I'm going to enjoy this spectacle that is playing a hockey game with the most fans that have traveled to the Winter Classic of any NHL team. The Predators are expecting 20,000-plus people to make the trip, which will be, according to most people, Emily Kaplan of ESPN saying it's going to be a record. Just enjoy the experience. If you're there, enjoy the experience. If you're watching at home, enjoy the experience. Just, I would say, don't stress yourself out, because if you start thinking about, should David Poile make trades? Who should start in goal? What about the line changes? How's the defense playing in 5-on-5? Like, if you start thinking about all that stuff, a lot of it can be negative right now. I just think it's going to ruin your experience. I think you got to put it all. Am I wrong for just saying be ignorant tomorrow and just watch the game and enjoy the game for what it is, the spectacle that it is? 90,000 people in a football stadium. That's going to be cool.
Well, enjoy, if you're there, enjoy, you know, the festivities prior to the game. Enjoy and after the game. Enjoy all that. Because, you know, they might not play in a Winter Classic for another, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, somewhere around there. So enjoy it while you have a chance to. But make no mistake, this team right now is the 20th best. I'm going to repeat this. The 20th best team in the National Hockey League. Yeah, the 20th best. They went from the penthouse to basically the outhouse in a year. So while you are enjoying the festivities, which you should, making the trip to Dallas. Dallas is a cool, cool city. While you're enjoying the festivities there, realize during the game, your team is the 20th best team in the National Hockey League. And if they lose, they will probably be the 21st or 22nd best team in the National Hockey League. Far cry from where they were last year, far cry from where they were 2 years ago, even 3 years ago. This is not the same team that we saw last year. This is not the same team that we saw 2 years ago. No way, no how. This is an inconsistent hockey team. And to me, yes, it's great that they're playing on this day in one of the highly anticipated games in hockey, in particular this year because of the Nashville Predators and how they travel. But this team, they need these 2 points. They need a point, period, but they need two more importantly. Because to me, if they go here and lay an egg, or if they go here and lose, I just think it sets them up to continue to be an inconsistent team.
Very difficult schedule.
Yeah, and
coming,
I think
coming up this month.
And you don't want to put too much emphasis on one game, but to me, if they lose this game, then I don't know if they make the playoffs. I really don't. Because unless they make some
type of... You're
going
to tie it to one game in January?
It's not just one game. It's the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
And if you can't, to me, because I look at this game almost like a playoff game, because that's essentially what it almost is. It has the atmosphere of a playoff game. You and this team, y'all have history together, playing each other. Where it's at, the classic. This almost feels like a playoff game. So if you can't get yourself up to play this game and get a point or two, then to me, it falls right along with the season. Just inconsistent. And what makes me think, unless Lavi and Peter make some type of move and before the trade deadline, what makes me think this is going to change? They're not playing good in the net. They're not consistent. They're not playing well as a unit all together. What makes me think this is going to just all of a sudden just change? Now, can it change? Absolutely, it can in sports. But to me, it just falls right along with how they've been playing. You know, just when you said it yesterday, just when you thought they were turning a corner, here they go again.
Yeah. It's funny. I almost go the complete opposite. I almost look at it as an exhibition game. Because it's such a spectacle, and again, maybe that's just the fan in me, and not, and I know the players don't look at it that way. I know Peter Laviolette's coached in a few in these games, so he understands sort of the situation. The players have very little experience in this situation, so I don't know again how that impacts things. Again, I don't honestly know. Preds fans, I think, you know, if you, because again, even just choosing the goaltender, like the. There's no reason for Pekka Rinne not to start this game because of what it means to the franchise. It's the Winter Classic. It's this big sort of event, and it's New Year's Day, and Pekka Rinne should start. Well, but if you're trying to really analyze who should start to try to win the game, maybe you make a different decision. So I even think some of the decisions the coaching staff has to make are a little different because it's this weird spectacle of an event. It's just handled a little differently, and I could see your angle that it's blown up because it feels like a playoff game. Mm-hmm. It's the Stars. You lost to them last year in the postseason. I get all of that. I guess every fan can choose to watch it how they choose to watch it, but I just am going to ignore the struggles. I'm going to ignore the inconsistencies. I'm going to ignore everything and try to appreciate this rare sort of, you know, exhibition, you know, special event feel. And just try to enjoy it, and then you know what? You come back, you still have 41 or whatever games it is left to settle in and yell about how bad the power play is. You know what I mean? Like I feel like there's still so much time to correct the ship, and there's still so many questions that I am going to choose tomorrow to sit down with my kids. You know, my daughter's excited about getting to watch it because she doesn't get to watch many games because they're on later than she is awake, you know, as a 3-year-old. So she's excited about it, and we're gonna watch and go over to a friend's house and do the whole do the whole party and everything. But it's the outcome to me when I come in on Thursday morning will not be the lead for me. Mm. And if it is for you, that's fine. Like I don't have a problem with other people thinking that way, but it's just not the lead for me on Thursday morning when we come in to do the show. It's, man, was that event cool? Or maybe it's going to snow in Dallas, and like we're going to be like, oh, weird, that event was weird. Like I don't know. It's more about the event to me than it is about the 2 points. We got all of January to worry about points, all of February to worry about points, and there will come a time where we're going to be very worried about points potentially. They could also right the ship and everything works itself out. So we just don't know. I do think there was a big piece of news yesterday for Nashville Predators fans that they need to stick around and find out, because there's a small piece of news that I think matters to people as one particular Predator got a little bit of an award yesterday. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Winter Classic coverage again right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 1 o'clock tomorrow, pregame at noon. But Chase McCabe and Porth got you covered at 9. You got Smashville Live at 11, all kinds of great stuff. Gary Bettman going to be on with them, so don't miss all of the coverage tonight and tomorrow live from Dallas at the Winter Classic, Preds and Stars, 1 o'clock tomorrow. All right, which Predator got nominated, awarded yesterday? We'll explain when we come back right here on Morning Drive. Happy New Year's from Morning Drive to all of you out there hanging out with us, Nashville. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Munson. Munson's already in, like, party mode, I think.
I'm always on party mode.
I know you always
are.
You
see the big smile on my face,
but
man?
I think there's some extra party mode today for you.
No, I mean, it ain't extra. It's just an ordinary day, you know?
Yeah.
Ordinary day in the life, the day in the life of Keith.
So, like, all of our bosses are gone because they're all in Dallas. So, like, are you just out of here at 10 a.m. just ready to party?
Oh, yeah, let's get
wild.
Is that
hey, man, how it goes?
Hey, man, why you got to say that out loud? Like, yo, come on, Braden.
Come on, homie, don't say my name.
I'm going to be right there with you, dude.
Well, it's different for y'all.
I'm going to be right there with you.
It's different.
So, Winter Classic, of course, tomorrow. You just heard Gary Bettman welcoming us back into the show. Gary Bettman, of course, joining the guys tomorrow, 11:30 a.m., ringside, starting at 9 a.m. We've got coverage tonight with the Road to Dallas and Preds Insiders at 6 and 7 following. Of course, Darren Donick and Chase, new time today, just for today, 2 to 6 p.m., of course. They'll be actually ringside watching a practice live, so that'll be cool. Just a cool experience to kind of understand what a practice looks like in the NHL. And you know what? Even during the break, Derek, I'm listening to your voice telling me about how important this game is, and I'm reading, you know, the front page of ESPN.com has got Roman Josi's face, and the headline is the NHL's best and worst this week. Predators hope Winter Classic helps shape their identity. And I just got done saying, I don't care about the outcome. And Emily Kaplan and you are telling me this is a playoff game. So I just don't know how to approach this game. I am choosing to approach it just to enjoy the spectacle. But it is an important 2 points. And Roman Josi yesterday was named to the All-Star game. I was thinking about this because there's only like, you know, it's the only Predator who made the All-Star game, and I think that's okay, but he's obviously clearly deserving. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, Pekka or UC Saros are deserving. It's not a whole lot of offensive weaponry that's deserving. But I do think that the NHL rosters are so small that every time you get an All-Star, it's a pretty big deal. So Roman Josi clearly deserving, after
congrats,
is having an unbelievable season so far, and you know, maybe tomorrow does shape their identity. Maybe tomorrow does redefine them and kickstart them, and it's a new year, and maybe I am looking at it the wrong way.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, Braden, you're wrong.
I know you're trying to be optimistic.
I just want to enjoy the party.
You want to be able to go to the party.
Yes.
And have a driver outside.
Just waiting on me.
You know, you have your drinks ready, and anytime they know, the bartender knows when you need a drink. You don't even have to go up to the bar. They just know, and they come to you as you're talking and enjoying.
Yes.
So you never have to worry about anything.
Yes, and hopefully I'm wearing sweat.
Well, that's a commercial.
Hopefully I'm wearing sweatpants and a sweatshirt.
And that's a commercial, Brady.
I'm very comfortable.
That's the commercial, and that's movies.
It's not real?
It's not real.
God dang it.
No, the reality is, when you need a drink, you got to go up to the bar, and then you got to wait an extra 15 minutes to actually get your drink. Maybe you got to wait an extra 15 minutes to get the bartender's attention your drink.
I already don't like this party.
Yes.
I want to go to my own party.
You can only have maybe one drink because you figure, I don't have an Uber or anything. I got to drive home.
I ran out of tickets.
Yeah, so that's reality. Reality for the Preds is, they have been an inconsistent team. They are the 20th ranked, well, they're tied for 20th. In the National Hockey League as far as teams. That's the reality. The reality is they hadn't played well in the net. The reality is some of their superstars hadn't stepped up consistently.
Penalty kill and power play are bad.
Reality, this team is not what they were last year. That's the reality. So, to me, they got to get this game. They got to get these points in order to continue to stay
pace in order to make
the playoffs.
It just feels like
that's reality.
I know it's reality. You're absolutely right. I just feel like it's making something that's supposed to be light and fun way too serious. Like, this is like an after church. To me, this is like an after church party, you know, where you just have, it's not like really about having the cocktails. You know what I mean? It's about just kind of gathering, seeing how your friends and family are doing, and then you have a little barbecue, and then you kind of go your separate ways. Like, you're trying to make this out to be like a black tie event where I've got to show up, and you know, there's gonna be cameras, and
exactly,
people. I've got to dress nice and put on a belt and shoes and pants.
You got to make sure your socks match everything.
I don't want to do any of that crap.
Nothing in your nose. You got to make sure all that stuff is right.
No, I want to look like a homeless person. I like going to parties where I wear sweatpants.
Can't do that. Not this day.
Not a lot of parties where you wear sweatpants.
Yeah, not this day.
So congrats to Roman Yossi, and obviously a ton of coverage from Dallas for the Winter Classic. I will say this on this New Year's Eve. I don't know if we're going to come in on Thursday and have resolutions. I just completely disagree with New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, because you break them all the time.
No, because what you're doing with a New Year's resolution?
Setting yourself up for failure.
Yes, you're putting pressure on yourself to like adhere to some strict rule. And this is what I introduced. I think I told you about this last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you liked my idea, so I'm going to try it again. I think everyone should change the phrase from New Year's resolution to New Year's intentions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a New Year's intention to eat a little bit better. It's a New Year's intention to spend more time with your family. It's a New Year's intention to work out more, to be nicer to people, or to not text and drive, mm-hmm. or whatever. Like, you're never going to be perfect at all these things, so don't set yourself up for failure. New Year's resolution is going to be a failure for you.
It's resolute. It's
definitive. Final. Yeah, yeah. It creates a pass-fail uh-huh. situation in your brain. No, New Year's intention. That means you can cheat a little bit, right? Like my intention.
A little leeway.
Right. My intention is to eat a little bit better. But occasionally I might want a cheeseburger.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm allowed to have my cheeseburger.
You know, my intentions are to work out, you know, 3-4 times a week. I might only get twice a week this week.
See?
You know, hey, sometimes it just works out that way.
New Year's intentions, not New Year's resolutions.
Because
you're setting yourself up for failure.
Well, have you going? Listen, resolutions will have you going to the gym for a month straight. Hogging all the machines, and then those that go every day, they can't get on their machine. Then they got to wait a month until you decide you want to leave.
So now you don't want people to be healthy.
So
now you're saying stop coming to my gym is what you're saying.
But I'm saying if you do the New Year's intentions, you won't run into those problems.
You're saying you won't run into those problems.
Exactly. I won't run
into
those
problems.
You
want people to have cheat days so that you get
Absolutely.
Your machine.
Absolutely. Because you know how
so
it
it's
is.
It's all about you.
They go to the gym and everybody, I hadn't seen you in about a year and a half. You go to the gym and it's like, okay, you're going to be here for a month. And then after that, then I ain't going to see you no more. And lo and behold, a month back go by. And I'm like, man, where's John, man? He was supposed to meet me today.
You got no faith in people,
well,
man.
John decided he wanted to lay at home today. Then today
nice.
goes to the next day. Then you find yourself not in the gym waiting on the next year to say, you know what? I'm going to do the resolution thing again. Damn it, stop doing the resolution thing.
New Year's intentions. We're going to make it a thing on the show. We're going to make it popular. Sweeping the nation, New Year's intentions.
Take it over.
Give yourself some
wiggle room.
Yeah, man. It's okay. You don't have to be so hard on yourself just because it's New Year's. I will say this. Don't just be safe tonight, though.
I think the Preds need to be resolute. They need to win this
damn
game.
They might need a resolution.
Yeah, they need to win this damn game.
Well, an actual playoff game is taking place on Saturday,
uh-huh.
and the Tennessee Titans are going to head up north to New England, to Gillette and Foxborough. And they're taking on basically the organization that they've built themselves and mirrored themselves after. And what does that mean for this team? What's actually at stake? Is it larger than just a playoff game? We'll explain. This is your chance, Tennessee Titans. This is your chance. We'll explain. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Munson. Is that Swizzle?
I love T-Swizzle.
Is that T-Swizzle?
That's always T-Swizzle. If I could play T-Swizzle.
That was not very high on my list this year of albums of the year.
Have you noticed a theme, though?
I'm not, no.
I've just been playing songs from this year.
Like best of 2019?
Well, it's not really best of, because, I mean, some of them are just, you know.
Just your
favorites.
Cool
to me. I like them.
Yeah.
Some of them are just cool to me, and I like them, but some of them are very popular.
I mean, I could do a whole segment, if Derek wants me to, of top albums of 2019. I've already posted my list on Twitter. I've got a long email thread going with all my buddies, like where we all post our best ofs of music in 2019. We're super nerdy about this. It's like best albums of the year, best songs of the year, best shows we went and saw of the year. I've got all that content. I don't know if anybody cares about it.
Well, but we'll do that later.
Yeah.
Because right now, the Titans are in the playoffs.
The Titans are in the playoffs. I'll get back to content. Thank you, Marquise. So, Titans are in the playoffs on Saturday night. And here's the thing, and I'm thinking about this yesterday as I'm, you know, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, it takes 2 weeks for you to win a series to move on to the next round. It takes, you know, you can have a terrible game, come out, respond, have a great game, and move on. And it just takes so much more. In the NFL, we saw this with Ohio State and Clemson, right? When one bad fumble or one fumble no call or, you know, a gray area call that could have gone either direction might have helped to dictate the outcome of that game. And that certainly hurt Ohio State's chances at winning the game, the fumble that was deemed incomplete. One play can change the course of your season. I feel like the Titans are as evenly matched with New England. This is the organization you have patterned yourself after. You know, some of the main pieces of this team, including the general manager and the head coach and the defensive coordinator, hail from this organization in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. You've claimed you want to go from good to great. You've done all this talking. Taylor Lewan, of course, is always out there saying something. I really don't ever have a problem with it unless you're playing terrible football. So, you know, if you're going to be suspended and then talk a lot about it, you better, you know, don't tell us that you're going to fix the penalty problem. Go fix the penalty problem. And I think he's done a better job of that. This is your opportunity. And because football is such a one-game random scenario sometimes where just things work your way or go against you, I think they've got a good chance to go up there and win. This is the end of, I don't want to say the end of the Patriots dynasty, but this feels like the most vulnerable they've been in 20 years. It's all there for you to go make something happen historically for your franchise. It's on, go do it.
Yeah, I don't think this is the end of a dynasty. I think this is a team that lost some key players early on, either via retirement or injury. And
assault allegation.
Yeah. So this is a team that it had expected to have these guys, and then turned out they didn't have them. And this team, the only reason this team is 12-4 is because, you know, the defense is the best in the NFL, and you know, their schedule, and listen, they got Tom Brady as quarterback, and he alone accounts for a handful of wins. But they're not doing it in the fashion that they once did it. And they're more vulnerable this year than they have been any year that I've seen this team play within the last 10 years. There are, you know, holes in this team that can be exposed, you know, from an offensive standpoint. Their offense, they don't have a true down-the-field threat. They don't have that bruising runner. You know, they don't have, you know, playmaking guys on that offense. Yes, Julian Edelman is a good receiver, but he's not going to single-handedly win you a game. And then teams have figured out how to minimize, you know, what he does. Yeah, they're going to let you catch a lot of balls, but he's not going to beat you. And Tom just don't have that guy that can beat a defense. And he's looking around for that guy, and he's frustrated. And, you know, when Tom's frustrated, then, you know, the offense doesn't benefit from Tom Brady's frustration. And you see it. Yes, they won 12 games, but, I mean, look at the teams they played. They've been horrible.
Yeah, I mean, the schedule is not.
Yeah, the schedule this year has been bad.
And they're what, 2-3 in their last five?
Exactly. So, I mean, they're not the same team.
They just feel gettable.
Yeah, they are vulnerable to losing in Gillette Stadium this year. But don't mistake a few vulnerabilities for a team that you feel, oh, it's falling off the map now. No, they still can put together a damn good game plan for a game. And make you, they can still look like the old Patriot team for a game. You just don't want it to be this game, Titans.
Right.
So you want to walk in with.
They certainly didn't look good against Miami last weekend.
With a healthy respect for this team, knowing that they can turn it on. But you don't have to walk in saying, you know, this is Mike Tyson. Oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? No, you walk in with a healthy respect, but knowing that on this day, you should have a decisive advantage against this team. You are playing the better football this go around, and you should take advantage of that.
There's never been a game where they went up to New England where I thought, oh, they've got a chance. Mm-hmm. Like, and I know that's probably too harsh, but every time these two, there's so much familiarity with these two organizations, not just the people and the personnel, the players and the coaches and the front office people, but they've played a lot of games against mm-hmm. each other. And I mean, hell, our Floyd Reese, our own guy, is tied to both organizations, you know? Like, it's just, there's so much that is interwoven between these two that they know so much about. Oh, by the way, they practiced against each other this summer in camp. Mm-hmm. They saw each other in a preseason game. They saw each other last year in the regular season. They saw each other in the postseason the year before that. There's just so much that ties these two together. And because it's the Patriots, because it is the big, bad, evil empire, it feels like it's bigger. Mm-hmm. And even a regular, like, all right, so if Seattle goes on the road and beats Philadelphia, Philadelphia's been a pretty good franchise. They won a Super Bowl lately. Mm-hmm. That's not going to feel like this huge accomplishment, right? Seattle's got the better record. Yeah. They go on the road to beat Philly. If Minnesota beats New Orleans, I think that'll be viewed as a pretty big deal, a pretty big upset on the road against New Orleans. I think it would be viewed as an upset, but I don't think it would be viewed as sort of like a changing of the guard or some greater, you know, there's not some greater meaning to it, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a, hey, you played a good football game on the road and you won a game that as an underdog. Same thing with like Buffalo and Houston. I don't think Houston's going anywhere, you know, as long as Deshaun Watson is the quarterback long term, they're not going to go anywhere. But Buffalo feels like it's rising, mm-hmm. and if so, as a franchise, if they go on the road and beat Houston the way you're picking them to do, it sort of changes the way we view the trajectory of the Buffalo franchise, right? We sort of view them as more of a challenger, because that would be what, in the playoffs 2 of the last 3 years for the Bills, right? Because
yeah.
They went on, I want to say they lost to Jacksonville, correct, in the first round. And so again, Buffalo sort of trending upward. Same thing, you know, the Titans. I just think this win, from a national sort of conversation standpoint, which again maybe is overblown a little bit, mm-hmm. feels like it people are going to sit up in their chairs around the country a little differently at this particular outcome, because the Titans changed quarterbacks, because it's Vrabel as a new coach, because it's the Patriots, and you're playing against, you know, the Patriots. If the Tennessee Titans, the franchise that nobody around the country cares about, who's playing better football then the Patriots, goes on the road and knocks off the Patriots in the year where all they're writing about is this the end of the Patriots? And you go on the road in the first round and knock them out? I just think I think there is more impact on the narratives for mm-hmm. both of these franchises in this game than your average wild card game. Am I crazy for thinking that? It just feels like there's more there, even though for the players and the coaches, it's just another playoff game.
I think there would be. I think the narrative in New England would be, you know, is Bill and Brady's time together over? You know, is this team,
that's a huge story,
are they, you know, trending downward? This team needs to get young very quickly. You know, off from an offensive standpoint, they need playmakers. There's a bunch of stuff that would be going on in New England if they lose this game. If the Titans win this game, it's okay. They are on the doorstep or closer to the doorstep of going from good to great. And they have the nucleus to do that, to continue to move forward. They have the nucleus to continue to be one of the better young teams in the National Football League. Their quarterback's 31. Their star receiver's 21. Their running back's 23. Their star defensive lineman, Simmons, is 20, 21. Their linebackers are in their early 20s. Their safety's in his mid-20s. So they have a bunch of guys that will be around here, we assume, for at least 4 or 5 more years. And in that time, you're going to add more pieces. So people think, you know, they win this game, man, the Titans are only going to get better, yeah. you know, as the year goes on. And whether that's true or not, you don't know. But at least the thought would be that this team is one of the rising teams in the NFL, and they will compete for a Super Bowl in the next 2 or 3 years. If they don't win this game, people are just going to look at them as the same old Titans.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm getting at here. Is for the players and coaches, it's just another playoff game. They got to go out there and do and DYJ, right? Do your job. But for the media narrative, which again, totally overrated sometimes, I acknowledge that. It just the Patriots haven't lost a home playoff game. They're not they've won 9 consecutive home playoff games. Mm-hmm. They haven't lost in 6 years at home in the playoffs. It would be accomplishing something that very few teams have ever accomplished, which is going into Foxborough and winning in the playoffs. And oh, by the way, it changes the way people view your franchise. It really does. Like you go up there and you win on the road, the 9-7 thing doesn't even matter after that. Nobody cares. What they remember is that you went on the road and beat Tom Brady.
You know, their only losses in the playoffs in the last 15, 20 years, you know their only losses? They have 2 losses at home in the playoffs, I believe. The only 2 losses.
Well, I know you know the last one.
Yeah.
Which was Baltimore. 2012, and that was the Baltimore Ravens. 2012 season, 2013, that was the Joe Flacco mm-hmm. championship Super Bowl. The last home loss after that...
It was the Baltimore Ravens.
...was the Jets.
Oh, yeah, they lost to the Jets.
In 2010. Yeah, the Ravens before that
yeah, Ravens
in 2009.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you got to go... So that's 3 losses at home.
In what? Almost 20 years?
You got to go all the way back. I'm already in the 94, dude.
Yeah.
They've lost 3 times at home in the playoffs.
Yeah, in 20 years.
In 20 years. And that predates Brady and, mm-hmm. and Belichick. So it just, again... Between the lines, it's just another game. Mm-hmm. It's just another X's and O's matchup between coaches and players. It's just another playoff game. But it does feel like there's more at stake for the Titans from a perception standpoint. And if you can go on the road and do something that very few people have ever done, which ironically feels possible this year.
Yeah.
I spent all day yesterday going like, I think they can win. I think they're going to go up there and play really well. I think that Derrick Henry, if he's playing the way he's... If we get the same Derrick Henry and they don't figure out some mysterious way to stop him, which is possible, of course, it's Belichick, they can go up there and win the game. I've never felt this way about a Titans team playing New England, ever. And I feel like they can go up there and win. The problem is the Patriots know what happened last year mm-hmm. here in Nashville, and they are already worked up about it. So some quotes from Patriots fans or Patriots players yesterday... into the media. We'll get to that when we come back. Also, Ryan Tannehill is making his first ever playoff start. Quarterbacks don't normally fare well in their first ever playoff start. Are we concerned about that? We'll get to that when we come back as well. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Link studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, ESPN, 102.5 The Game, Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Happy New Year's, everybody. Be safe out there. Amateur hour tonight, so just be careful, okay? Don't act like a bunch of idiots. It's really not asking that much, Derek, I don't think. For people to just be smart tonight. I'm going to get to Ryan Tannehill and his making his first playoff start and what you think about that, Derek, in just a second. But there was a little tiny – I think the media, myself included, I'm just letting you know I'm intentionally taking this mm-hmm. out of context and blowing it out of proportion because I want to have a fun week of radio this week. I want it to mm-hmm. be dramatic. I want both sides to be talking and chirping and yapping at each other because it makes our job easier. To do sports talk radio this week, if there's like a little anger between the two teams, we know that Belichick and Vrabel don't want anything to do with that, right? Mm-hmm. Like we know both coaching staffs want to be on to Cincinnati. You know, we respect the other guys. They're going to play hard. We're going to play hard. Blah 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 blah. Kyle Van Noy, one of the defensive front guys for the mm-hmm. New England Patriots, he had a couple of quick things to say as they were meeting with the media in New England yesterday. For the Patriots, and this is what Kyle Van Noy had to say.
At the end of the day, we're in a blessed situation. We're in the playoffs. We're one of 12 teams in the playoffs. I mean, we have a chance to go on a revenge tour, and what better way to start off with Tennessee, who we lost to last year. A big motivation. We weren't happy about our performance, and they're coming into our house, and what better way to get it started for the playoffs? Saturday at 8:15 in Gillette.
You mentioned the idea of a possibility of a revenge tour.
Yeah.
I was curious where that thought, you know, started, I guess.
I mean, you just got to look at who we can play. And we're playing the Titans, and we gotta just go into it and put everything we can into that game. They're a really good team, and Vrabel's got them playing really well, and we're excited for the challenge.
Oh, Kyle Van Noy took a shot at the Titans. Oh, it's a revenge tour. Oh, gosh. I can't even make it up. It's not that big a deal. I don't think it was that controversial of a comment. But, God, wouldn't you just love this week to just hear all their real feelings about each other? I know that there's a lot of respect and there's a lot of mutual love. I get all that. But don't you just want them don't you want somebody just to come out and say something real stupid? Because not on the Titans side, on the Patriots side. not on the Titans side. That'd be bad. Because I think the disrespect card, like Dabo Sweeney's going to play it for the Tigers, the Clemson Tigers, I think that's the way Vrabel should play this. The whole entire country cares about the Patriots. The whole country cares about Tom Brady and the end of the dynasty and the Patriots this and the Patriots that. There's not going to be anybody writing anything about the Titans all around the country. So I could see them playing the disrespect card. I'd love it if a Patriot gives them extra juice. I don't think that was bulletin board material, and some people were trying to make it out to be yesterday. I don't think that was that big a deal.
What's so funny is, like, usually in this business, it'll cut it off at the part where he said this is a revenge tour, and then don't play anything else from what he just said. They'll just play...
Where he's very complimentary of Mike Vrabel.
He's like, yeah, Mike Vrabel's done a great job with that team. No, they cut it off at revenge tour. He's like, see? Yeah. Patriots think this is a revenge tour. They feel disrespected.
I would do anything for them to just start yelling at each other in the media. I would love it, but it's just not going to happen.
No. I mean...
And nobody should be offended by what Kyle Van Noy said yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's not offensive. He didn't say that the Titans were a bad team.
Yeah.
Just because you say it's a revenge tour doesn't mean that you're guaranteeing a win or anything. They're just on a road to possibly avenge the losses that they had.
And they would play
with teams.
They would play Kansas City.
They played. Yeah, Kansas City, the Baltimore Ravens, Tennessee Titans.
Yep.
You know, that's not saying, oh, we're going to go out there and I'm guaranteeing a win. But he said a revenge tour is having an opportunity to play in multiple games or multiple venues.
He did stop himself, though, as he was like, well, because the follow-up was, why do you think this is a revenge tour? You know, what do you mean? And you can hear his voice. You can hear the wheels in his head cranking where he's like, well, just look at the teams we have to play.
Yeah.
And when you say that, it makes it feel like you're assuming a win over the Titans, that you're going to play the Chiefs, and then you're assuming a win over the Chiefs, and then you're going to play the Ravens. And those are the three teams you lost to the last time you've played them. And you can feel like there's a revenge tour. And you can see his wheels cranking. He stops in the middle of it, and he says, you can see all the teams we're going to play. Well, we lost to the Titans. They're a great team. We've got to focus on the Titans. He goes back to one game at a time, like in the middle of his answer.
Yeah, he basically did the grown man Quinn Williams. he saw Bill Belichick in his head, like, don't talk, don't say that.
Please tell me we've got that somewhere.
Yeah, we're on the Cincinnati.
It's just teams they would have to play moving along in the playoffs. And,
but wait, hang on. We're focused on the Titans. Sorry.
They, I don't, there's,
it's
I don't
not that
see,
big a deal.
I don't see the Titans taking that out of context or anything else. I don't see
that they assume that they're going to play another game is what
anybody else is taking that out of context. It's, you know, they gotta, you know, and the Titans can, you know, sort of be in this boat too. Like, listen, we got an opportunity to avenge the loss we had 2 years ago or 3 years, whatever it was. Yeah, 2 years ago against the New England Patriots in the playoffs. Well, we went down there second round and got beat up. We got a chance to avenge that loss and then potentially play, you know, the Baltimore Ravens. So, but, I mean, they just need, both teams need to worry about this game.
Yeah.
And what can they do to potentially win this game?
Yep.
And then hopefully get to the next game.
We'll get to the Ryan Tannehill impact at some point here moving forward, but John wants to chime in. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning and Happy New Year coming up to you
too.
Guys.
Yeah,
same to you.
So here's my question as we're talking about a revenge tour or anything else and possibly going to win the game at all costs. Vrabel would know probably better than anyone about how are we going to keep our play calls under wrap coming from the sideline when that microphone system and everything else could be impeded by someone interfering with the wireless network and giving our play calls away. You know, all the things like that that concern me with the spy gates and everything going on up there. I've got to figure out a system where that won't be impacted at a critical time if we use Gillette's stadium's microphone input.
I love John so much. John, the game, we are like 4 days away from the game. The game hasn't even happened yet, and he's already making excuses. Oh, well, and the microphones, they were messing with our radio frequency. They were stealing our signals. Listen, I know the Patriots' reputation. It certainly precedes them. Mike Vrabel and the Titans would certainly never address it or talk about it publicly. But if something actually were to happen where it was that serious, you don't think they would say something about it after the game?
Oh,
like if their headsets go out in the fourth quarter, you don't think they would say something about it?
Of course,
yeah,
they would. But typically in the NFL, well, it's a standard practice. It's a rule that if my headphones go out, then you can't use yours either.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, their headphones go out and New England gets to use theirs. No. If my headphones go out, then you have to take yours off.
I think John's worried about them, like, tapping their phones. You know what I mean? Like, John, I love you. That's one of my favorite calls ever we've had on the show. But, I mean, you're going to lose to the Patriots because you can't stop Tom Brady from finding open receivers.
Or it has nothing to do.
Or they stop Derrick Henry flat in his tracks. Or, like, that's why you're going to lose. Because Bill Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. And, like, those are the reasons you're going to lose to the Patriots. Mm-hmm. They're not filming. I know that people think the Patriots are these filthy, dirty cheaters. I thought the Deflategate thing was the dumbest scandal in the history of scandals. If you lose to the Patriots, it's because they were the better team on Saturday night. If you beat the Patriots, it's because you were the better team on Saturday night. And if something crazy comes out, then sure, we can address that. But let's not make excuses for ourselves before the game has even been played.
Let's not do that. Let's not do this built-in excuse thing already.
It's not good.
Yeah. Let's just let him go out there and play.
I want to talk about Ryan Tannehill. We will do that next hour because he is making his first ever career playoff start. And a lot of times, you see quarterbacks making their first playoff start struggle in a big way. I don't think Titans fans need to worry about that for a few reasons, a few obvious reasons. We'll talk about that next hour. However, Winter Classic tomorrow, New Year's Day. Happy New Year. Stars, Predators, 1 o'clock. We got all kinds of coverage for you, including Greg Wyshynski when we return from ESPN to talk Nashville Predators hockey right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.